Good morning again. So several years ago, I was talking with a friend, and she was saying, it was a Monday, and she was saying that the day before she went to the gas station to put gas in her car, and there was, you know how there's usually someone on the other side, and it's like this awkward thing, do I say hello, do I smile, what do I do here? And the person across on the other side of the pump, as they were pumping their gas, was just beaming with joy and just beaming, just happy, maybe humming. I don't remember what she said, but just my friend said, I wanted whatever he had. So I asked him, why are you in such a good mood today? And the man said, I just came from worship and it just filled my soul. And she said, where do you go? And he told her, I apologize, I don't remember. But the point is, he was beaming God's light. He was not tasteless, was he? He was beaming God's light, and she knew it, and she wanted to have it. That has stuck with me for years. I think this was more than 10 years ago, that we, each of us, every day, can be that person on the other side of the gas tank, beaming God's light. So, I guess today we're going to talk about how and why. It seems salt has gotten a bad rap lately. I'm wondering who here is watching their sodium intake? Anyone in the choir? Yep. Yeah, my mom is always talking about her sodium as well. But on the other hand, salt has gotten exotic, right? Look at all those fancy salts. We have Himalayan salt, sea salt, Dead Sea salt. I've seen Dead Sea salt scrub or something like that. Any other salt that you've seen out on the market? Epsom salts, yes. Pink Himalayan sea salt. There are all kinds of salt, and I find this super interesting. Salt can do several things. It brings flavor to things that are bland or tasteless. Over Christmas break, my nephew, who's 11, and I made a beef roast, and it was a hit. Everyone loved it. And so my brother said, well, how did you season it? And so I turned to my 11-year-old nephew, and I said, how did we season it? And he said, salt and pepper. And that was the truth. We put salt and pepper on the beef roast, and it was a huge hit. It makes things tasteful. It also can act as a preservative. And salt can also be used to stimulate thirst. And in our neck of woods, we know all know what salt can be used for, right? To melt the ice and clean the roads and the sidewalks so we don't slip or fall or crash our cars. To Matthew's hearers in Judaism, salt was a symbol of covenant. We may think of ourselves as the salt of the earth. We could do this by enhancing our lives, others' lives, and the love and vibrancy of life above and beyond the ordinary flavors. Well, how do we do this? Well, maybe like I took that flashlight in that dark hallway, we shine God's light so bright. In this scripture or teaching, Jesus is referring to Isaiah 42, verse 6. You are the light of the world. Jesus tells us of the light God shares with us, and we are to share with others in the world. Don't hide it, but share it. By honoring covenantal acts of love, mercy, and justice. So why do we share the light? Well, light gives light. Light gives life. It's essential for the growth of vegetation, such as the food we eat and the flowers that that give us beauty. Light gives us solar energy so we could power our homes and even beyond our homes. We as believers may also act as a mirror that reflects God's light so that all people can know God's justice and mercy. As a gathered community, disciples are like a light when we engage others in the world. Jesus encourages his followers to bring light to dark and broke to a dark and broken world. And I noticed in the baptismal vows and liturgy that it also talks about how Jesus brought light into a dark world. And there is so much darkness. We all have dark times. Light shines bright in the darkness. Think of the stars in the night sky. We cannot see the stars in the night sky without the darkness. Scholar James Charles Cook said, "In order for the light to be seen, we must be willing to go where the darkness exists, to engage and walk through it, so that in time the light can overcome it, like a sunrise." Archbishop William Temple said this, "The church is the only organization on earth that exists for those who are not its members." And I want to add, yet. We all have dark times. People of faith have dark times. We are in it. We are to shine God's light and compassion on those we know who might be going through dark times and those we don't know yet. But think about those who do not yet know the comfort and grounding of faith. Maybe they have never heard or known about Jesus, God, or the Holy Spirit. And maybe they have never yet heard the reassuring message, "Jesus loves me, this I know." You finish it. Or, "What a friend I have in Jesus." Or, "Great is thy faithfulness." Or, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." Or, "Be still my soul." Or, "Welcome, all are welcome in this place." Or worse yet, they have heard these messages but did not experience it in practice of the Jesus followers within the church. What if they have been hurt by the church? This may sound like a huge ask or expectation, but Jesus has shared with us in his teachings over and over again, we are not to lose our saltiness. In other words, we are to live with integrity. In Isaiah, the reading from Isaiah says, God says, "I'm here." So if we're ever in doubt as to how to make this happen, God is with us. We are to be the salt and the light of the earth so that no one mistakes Jesus or Jesus' followers as judgmental or mean or exclusive, but only full of love and mercy and justice and inclusivity, continually saying, "Welcome, welcome to this place. You're invited to come and know God's grace." Amen.